Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
I want to read a passage of Scripture to you this morning that you've heard about, but it's fairly unpreached, and it's not something that ministers like to delve into unless they have a week or 2 weeks. And matter of fact, it's out of a book in the Bible that when they met at Nice back in 124 AD, there was a lot of discussion over this book. And the book is Revelation. And I want to read chapter 10 to you. I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as were a lion's roar. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lived forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, for there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mysteries of God would be finished. And he declared to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven speak to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hands of the angels who stand on the sea and on the earth. So I went and I took and I said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, and it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey to the mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about my people, nations, tongues, and kings. Our Heavenly Father, you reveal that which is not revealed to common man. The Bible can only be taught by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, only those who are Christian can understand it. So Lord, I pray today that you open our minds and our hearts and you open our eyes that we might see something greater than who we are, where we are, and what's going on. And for that, we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know that I read a lot. And I've read several books that they made movies out of. And so have you. And if you go to the movie, you'll say, the book was better. We've kind of lost the art of reading today, and it's easier because we live in this fast-paced world and no one wants to take a pause and no one wants to take a break. But when you read a book, there's chapters. And you may read three chapters in the morning and go all day and not read until you start reading the fourth chapter. Some people will go a week and then start in on the fourth and fifth chapter. Some people only read on Saturday mornings. There are pauses that are in books. that you don't get in a movie. The movie blows right through the pause, so all you're seeing is one aspect of what the producer and the director put on the screen. The book of Revelation is written sort of like this. Book of Revelation, as you read it, and the Bible as you read it, you'll come to a spot, and sometimes I will just sit there and ponder what's going on and what God is saying. And what God does is he takes me back to other references in the Bible of where it says something similar to try to explain what's going on. See, you can't understand Revelation unless you understand the rest of the Bible and what's been going on before. Here is one of those such times. John is taken up into heaven, the Bible says, and he sees great wonders. And all that he is seeing up to this point are the things in heaven. He's seen the throne. He's seen the angels singing. He's seen all the things in heaven. But here we take a turn in chapter 10, and we take that pause. In chapter 11, he's back on earth. And if you try to take chapter 11 and the rest of the book and put it in chronological order, you're not going to be able to do that. This great angel that he saw, some say it was Michael, some say it was Gabriel. I don't know who it was. But some have said through the years it's Christ because of how it explains what he looked like. But it isn't Christ. And I can give you a few reasons for that. Christ was never spoken of as an angel, number one. He was always spoken of as the Son of God. He's spoken of as the Messiah. He's spoken of as the Deliverer. There are many names for Christ, but he's never an angel. And in heaven and in the Bible, there's a difference between an angel and the Son of God. The second thing is, the angel is not to be worshipped in the Bible. And the Bible warns against this. And about 8 years ago, there was this thing going around about angels, and there were so many books you go in the secular bookstores written about angels that people were almost worshiping angels instead of worshiping God. The angels are here to help us. The angels are here to make us better at what we do. Mary, where's Mary Dunkel? Your daddy told this in church one Sunday morning at Defiance. And I thought of him the other night when I was putting the spigot on under my sink. And you know how hard it is to reach up there and put that bolt on? Just to get it? He said, I tried and I tried. And I tried till my arm got sore, and I tried with my other arm. He said, I tried with a crescent wrench to get up there, and he said, I just couldn't get it. And I said, Lord, you said that angels are here to help us. I need some help. And he said, bingo. It went right on. See, when you have faith, you can get help. But angels are angels, and this angel took an oath to God. Jesus would never do that. Christ would never do that. So we're talking about this great angel. And he was wrapped in a cloud. And Psalms 104 verse 3 tells us that God makes clouds his chariots. And often in the Old Testament, his presence is hidden from the people in a cloud. The tabernacle was covered with a cloud, as well as the temple was covered with a cloud. And the angel came clothed with majesty of God in a cloud. So what he's saying is this great angel came with all the majesty and the glory and the power from heaven to help us, to work with us, to explain something to us, to show us something through John the Revelator. His legs were as pillars of fire, Exodus 13, verse 12. We were told the Lord himself walked in the fiery cloud pillars in the wilderness, and his people journeyed in the promised land. Verse 2, he had a little scroll in his hand, unrolled and open, which no man could open. And he placed one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. And you say, my goodness, that is one giant angel. I've done that. I was down in Daytona Beach and I had one in the water. That's not what he's talking about here. He is talking about the same thing as he is talking about when Christ was born in a manger, which we celebrated just at Christmas time. An unknown place, an unknown spot, to unknown people. But the star shone in heaven. The angels sang in heaven. And he encompassed that baby in that manger, encompassed the entire world, known world. This angel and what he had to say and what he had to promise was going to encompass everything that about mankind. It wasn't like the little book that was in chapter 5 that no man could open. But he said, don't weep, because there is one that can open it, and that was the Christ. And that was the plan of salvation. Only Jesus Christ could deliver salvation. It wasn't some religion. It wasn't being good. It wasn't, like the world tries to say, there's several ways to heaven. There isn't several ways to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's never been a man like that man. He rose from the dead. He was seen by over 500 people, and he's been proclaimed for 2,000 years, and he changed the world, and he encompassed the world. And this angel, what he is speaking and what he is saying, encompasses the world. It gives authority from what he is speaking to John. That takes in the entire world. It's multidimensional. Further up and further in, as C.S. Lewis said in Tales of Narnia. And John was reluctant to approach the angel. But John is now on earth and he's looking up and he's seeing the vastness of heaven. And the voice from heaven is God, and he says, go take the book. Go and take this book. The angel didn't give it to him. John had to go and take it. Salvation is just like that. Salvation can come to your doorstep, but you've got to reach out and accept it. You've got to take it if you want it. It isn't going to just be bestowed upon you. You're not going to get it by osmosis. You must repent to be saved. And you realize that this world is not your home. You don't want to live for this world. You want to live for the kingdom of God and the things of God, which is much vast, more vast than anything that we can see here. And God tells him, go and take it. And God tells you to go and take it. Go take a hold of that salvation. Now that salvation is the mysteries of Christ. And John obeyed his command. Psalms 118, we read that the word of God is sweeter than honey to the one that receives it. The word was made flesh and dwelt among men. That book is Christ. And what we're going to take encompasses the entire world, the sea and all of the land. And when we take it, remember the day you're saved? Boy, I do. Everything was roses. I mean, it was sweet, it was honey, you loved everybody, you loved everybody, you'd never seen anything like this, and it's sweet. And you tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and they accept Christ, and that's sweet, and there's no greater thing to see than someone come and give their life to Christ. It is the best thing that can ever happen to anyone in the entire world, is bringing people to Jesus Christ. And he said, it's going to be sweet in your mouth, but it's going to be bitter in your belly. Because John is not standing in heaven, John's standing on earth. And this is the gospel of Christ that he took in, and this is a proclaiming of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. But also in proclaiming it, you're no longer part of the world, John. It's going to be bitter to your stomach. You know, you can have a good attitude and have an upset stomach, and you're just sick all over. He said, John, you're going to walk like this from now on. He said, you're going to have the sweetness of the gospel to present, but you're going to feel bad when people don't accept it. You're going to feel rejected because the people of the world reject you. You're going to feel like people have turned their back on you because you love the Christ, because you have seen something. But this is a mystery. And once God opens this book to the mystery, you can't unsee it. It's there, and it's there throughout all of eternity. And he is commanded again, verse 11, to proclaim the gospel. And you proclaim it to every man around the world. And for 31 years here, I've tried every Sunday to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is sweet. But it's also difficult when you see people that walk out and don't come back. It's difficult when you see people that turn their back on the way God wants them to live, and they live according to the things of the world. They set their own standards instead of allowing God to set their standards for them. Where the Bible is clear, folks, we don't have an opinion. But he said, don't tell what you read. Now, I stumbled on that, prayed about that for a long time. Then I read where Albert Einstein said, I know scientific things that I cannot tell you because the world cannot handle them. I will take them to my grave. When I proclaim the gospel, I'm not going to tell you the bad side. I'm just going to tell you the good side. It's going to cost you the world if you come to Christ. Of course it is. And you're going to go through trials, and I'll help you when you go through those trials, and the church will stand with you when you go through those trials. But I'm not going to say, now, if you get saved, here's exactly what's going to happen. This person's going to walk out of your life. This person's going to have nothing to do with you. You're going to have trouble at work. You don't do that. He said, John, the mysteries, keep them quiet and present the Christ. Present the Christ that has his... The angels come with his foot in the land and his foot in the sea. Let your people of the church not look at the carpet, but look at the almighty rainbow of God and the cloud of God that encompasses everything they do and everything they say and all of their life and all of their death, because in him is life. Let your people see the glory of God and life everlasting. Because there's only one distinction, and that's those who are under the blood and sealed by the blood, and those who are sealed by the beast. And the beast is the world. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and everyone is partaken of the world. It isn't about coming to church on Sunday morning and say, I've added God to my portfolio. It isn't about giving 10%, say, well, I've added God to my finances. It's about surrender. Your life is in him. Your hope is in him. Your help is in him. Your friends are in him. Your music is in him. Your entertainment is in him. That's the Christ we serve. Five times in Revelation, he says, go and proclaim. Now let me read chapter 10 to you and see if you understand. I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. And his face was like the sun, and his feet like a pillar of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered his voice. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voice, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, that's God, seal up this thing which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by God who lives forever and ever. That means he wasn't God. Who created heaven and the things that are in it, and earth and the things that are in it. There are two attributes to God that go to no other. One is he created everything that is in heaven and on earth. And he lives forever and ever and ever. That's eternal life. And the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be no delay any longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mysteries of God will be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, Go take the little book, which is open in the hands of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, Give me the little book. That's boldness. God, give me the salvation. Give me the word. I'll take it. Which is open in the hand of the angel who stood on the sea. So I went to the angel and said to him, Give me the little book. And he said to me, Take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey to my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, You must prophesy again about my peoples, nation, tongues, and kings. That encompasses the entire world. There's power in Jesus Christ. Power over death, power over your life circumstances, power over what you are going through and what you are dealing with. It's eternal power. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that we get the glimpse of you as Isaiah did, high and lifted up, and your train filled the temple. I pray that you take us out of this little church down here in the valley and let us see the vastness of God and the power of God and the strength of God. Lord, I pray that we walk in that power and that strength. It's going to be difficult in the world. But Lord, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I pray now you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.